Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise God. Good to have you today. Praise.
So you just need to ask if there's any testimonies.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome, 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 praise the Lord. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies when we get around to it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So good to have everybody. Praise the Lord. All right.
Well, welcome to Resurrection Sunday. It's good
Amen.
To see everyone here today.
He's alive.
He is alive.
He's alive. He's not dead. Our God is not dead. He's alive.
He
praise
risen.
The Lord. Boy, is he ever alive.
Yes, he is. We had this email from Dorothy. She said, a testimony, my son's car was broken down over a week. His starter went out, and we purchased the car for only $700, but it is from Massachusetts, so a lot of rust underneath. My son has never worked on a car, really, but he tried all week to get 3 bolts off the starter with no luck. My husband and I drove to... Chad relates to that. My husband and I drove 2 hours to Orlando to help him. My husband also hurt his back that very morning and was in pain. So after 4 hours of being under the car, I hurried and went to get the new starter before the store closed. And when I got back, my husband had given up on the last bolt that was in a very hard spot that neither he nor my son could get loose. My son crawled under the car, and while he was getting in position, I told him, "You know what you're doing wrong?"
Listen to this now. Listen. He's fixing to give you the answer.
Yep. You didn't pray and ask Jesus to send his angels to help.
Oh, goodness.
So I prayed. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask that you send your mighty angels to loosen this bolt so we can get this starter in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I told my son, okay, the bolt is loose now. And immediately his eyes got huge and he said, "That really worked. That was fast." He said it 3 or 4 times. Wow, that really worked. Then he praised Jesus and thanked him. He also said he can't wait to testify this to everyone. Only 2 weeks ago, he was telling me that he didn't know if he believed anymore because everything was going wrong. And he was so full of joy because he knows neither he nor my husband could get that bolt loose.
What God can do with one little bolt.
Praise Jesus.
What he can do with one little bolt. This is amazing. Wow.
Okay, this one started March 18th. It started with, I've been watching Thurman's videos for months now, and I wanted to ask if there's a Living Savior, my brothers and sisters, will please say a prayer for my sister Pat, who has cancer, and myself, who has a bad liver. I understand Thurman's teachings on digging out past sins in Jesus' name. This is from Richard. So we wrote him back and said, cancer is unforgiveness and bitterness, anger and rage going to the liver. You probably have an unforgiveness against a man because the liver's on the right side, and it's what we've seen a lot of. And I told him to call the ministry center for prayer. You both, he and his sister, need to repent. Here's some links to listen to. And she also needed to call the ministry, and we prayed, and it's done. I sent him more afraid of unforgiveness than a sack of rattlesnakes, and I sent him so important to forgive everyone. So, and then I gave him the roots of hepatitis and liver issues, although I'd already told him. Mainly, all the hepatitis has to do with self-rejection, self-hatred, guilt, uncleanness, anger, fear, soul ties, rage. Same thing that we'd been saying all along. Okay, so he got, let's see, he must have gotten back to us because we wrote him back and said, I think he did drugs. That's how he got the liver issue. And we said, doing drugs is not loving self. It's a sin if you don't love yourself. Repent for not loving yourself and promise God from this day forward that you will love yourself. You are a son of the King of the universe. You are royalty. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you love yourself. So I sent him links of love yourself, God commands it, and who you are in Christ. He wrote back and he said, I'm an owner-operated truck driver. Maybe it'd be all right if I stop by your church sometime and listen to you in person. Of course, we told him, and he told Thurman that he felt like he was, I've never met Thurman, and at first listening to him teach, I thought he was a little over the top. However, I've grown to really love him, a faithful man. God bless you. And Thurman wrote back, a lot of people think that I'm over the top, to say the least. But what I teach agrees with the word. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we told him, sure, you're welcome to stop anytime. Told him when the services were. And then he wrote back, oh, good, you know. He said, Thurman, I ask you, so that was March 18th when this thing started, and on March the 26th, he wrote back, Thurman, I ask you if you would pray for me and my sister the other night. I told you I'd gotten hepatitis years ago, the bad kind, and my liver at my age is probably shot. After your prayer, I went in to do blood tests, and the doctor called today and said, my liver results are fine.
Hallelujah. Hey. That's what happens when you're over the top.
Over the top.
God answers your prayer.
The doctor said, yes, we do love it. The doctor said they can tell that I did have hepatitis C, but my body must have healed itself. Thank you, Thurman, for your prayer. And praise Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God.
Why can the world not believe that God's a healer? He gave us all these wonderful promises and told us what he would do. And then he went to the grave and died and arose again on the third day to prove to you that he is who he says he is and that he can do what he said he could do.
Yeah.
And so many people still don't believe, do we? Wow. I'm telling you what, I've never been called over the top. But I'm glad I'm over the top. Aren't you glad I'm over the top? I love being over the top. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I'm sure we must have some testimonies that I don't know about. Who's got one? Anybody got a testimony you want to give?
Jeanette does.
Or who does? Or whoever's got one, come on up here. Let's get going. I love to have these testimonies over the top. Over the top testimonies, girl.
Okay, I have to share this. Actually, the Lord actually asked me earlier this week if I've shared this testimony, and I shared it with friends, and he actually reprimanded me. But then he ended up doing more before the week was over, so I guess I was supposed to wait. About 12 weeks ago on a Sunday, walking in at this church, my daughter was on the phone with me, and she's arguing about this theory of flat earth. She believes in it, and she was asking me to be open-minded about it. And so I wasn't, and she hung up on me as I walked in the church. Cheryl and the praise team immediately began, my daughter's adopted, they began to explain to me that she didn't love herself and things like that. We really went to the Lord for her, but my heart was very broken. Within 24 hours, she had a freak accident where she ruptured the artery in her neck. And when she went to the hospital, it was a 1 centimeter tear, and they could not operate on it because it was so small. But they said she would be under complete bed rest for 2 months. Well, that's fine if you have no children, but she has 5. And so they said, you'll be under complete bed rest. They sent her home. She was in ICU, but the doctor did say, man, somebody upstairs loves you because I've never seen a person with a tear like this that didn't have a stroke. But she actually went to the hospital because she was having stroke symptoms.
Wow.
And so they immediately put her, when she got to the hospital, she immediately went to ICU. There was no waiting. She went home on a Friday, and immediately people went into action, being there, taking care of her. She couldn't do anything. And the following Wednesday, the symptoms started again, and she called me at lunch and said, Mom, the symptoms are back. I've called my husband. And I said, you know, come get me. And I immediately hooked her up with Grace. And I said, you've got to talk to Grace now, because I'm ashamed to say this, my faith isn't there yet. It's growing.
It will get okay. there. Keep it
it's
up.
Not there yet. But I knew he had already kept her from having a stroke. And Grace talked to her a long time because she doesn't love herself. And she began to talk to her. She said, we have no insurance. And she was scared about the financial part of it because she'd just gotten out of ICU. And she began to talk to her about that. She confessed her finances to Grace. She confessed her unbelief. And Grace began to tell her that's the first place you start. When they got to the hospital, it was a 4.5-inch blood clot. And they put her immediately in isolation at Baylor Hospital in McKinney. And you know the phone calls were ringing and we were immediately there. But it was weird that she was in isolation because the hospital was full. And so when I got there, the social worker said, do you know why she's in, you know, do you realize what this room is for? And it's like, no. I mean, the number wasn't even on the door. I walked past it. I mean, I couldn't even find her. Well, the thing is, it's for famous people. it's for famous people only. And she said, do you want to know how many famous people have been in this room and we've treated them? And the room was like different than any ICU room I've ever seen. It's got every equipment you can have. And I kept thinking, God loves my daughter so much. He loves my daughter so much. And Amen. They began to bring prayer blankets in for us, and they brought us matching prayer blankets. They said, Mom, you and your daughter need matching prayer blankets. And they brought her husband a blanket so he could stay there at night. And obviously, people are stepping up to take care. Well, the whole long thing is that she lives in the city of Anna. She was released after 5 days. She had Christian nurses that began to pray over her, tell her how to go home and run a family in this condition. And she went home. The city of Anna has a program called Pay It Forward, which she belongs to. For 5 solid weeks, the city of Anna brought food every single night. She brought nothing. She stayed completely in bed. And there was at one point she had to go back to the hospital, and it was a minor thing, but not ICU. But there was at one point, like 2 weeks in, their finances had been so bad, her 13-year-old called me on a Saturday night. He said, Nana, they're bringing 3 pizzas and breadsticks. Well, for her family, that's a big thing. He says, but there's food in the pantry. And for a grandparent, that's so hard to hear, because she wouldn't tell me that there were times that there was no food in the pantry. So we've just come out of all this, but where we want to share with you today, the Baylor Hospital bills are totaled up to $110,000 to $115,000. And they applied for financial help on it, and they told them they would give somewhere between 40 and 50%. And they received a letter in the mail that Baylor Hospital paid 100% of the bill. So I wish I could tell you that was the end of the story, and now I know why the Lord reprimanded me this week, because I went to Facebook and shared it and said, celebrate the Lord this week. On Good Friday, she got a letter from Texas Radiology, which is not attached to Baylor, and the bill was $6,500, and it said paid in full.
Amen. Praise it.
She went back to the Lord, because right now they don't have a car that they can put their whole family in. They're driving 2 cars. And she went back to the Lord, and he said, I am the God of all.
Amen.
I'm not the God of some. So that's our testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's fantastic. Does our Heavenly Father own all the cattle on 1,000 hills?
Yes, he does.
And he owns the hills, too.
That's right.
So everything's his, right?
That's right.
Boy, was there anybody else that had another testimony? If you got a testimony, come up here. Come on, praise the Lord, let's hear it. We'd love to hear testimonies, see what God is doing. He's a good God, is he not?
Yes, I have so many, I'm trying to decide which ones to do. But the one that I really want to do is just the most amazing to me.
Okay.
I had a car wreck in October, and a long story short, between 3 tow trucks and 2 shops, when I got my car back, my mother's heirloom gun was gone. And I didn't have any serial numbers or anything on it. So, of course, 4 months later, I finally decided I maybe should do something about it. So I decided to drive back to where I had the wreck and see if I could talk to the policeman, because he had seen the gun. And I thought, well, maybe, he saw a serial number, because I don't see that good, whatever. So I went in and used the excuse to make a police report. He wasn't there. But I went ahead and... I went ahead and filled out the police report. And then this really handsome policeman came out and said, go sit in that room, Miss Gillespie. And so I thought, I guess he's going to interview me about my gun. And he walked in. Oh, I left out the best part. The night before I went, I told the kids what I was going to do. And my son and all his friends were in the kitchen. They were like, it's been 4 months. You're not going to get that gun back. And I said, I'm getting my gun back. It's my mother's gun. I'm going to get it back. And one of them said, well, it's just going to take an act of God to get that gun back. And I said, well, who do you think's going to get it back? That's the only hope I got. So the policeman sits me in there, and then he comes back after a few minutes, and he said, well, Miss Gillespie, I thought you might want this, and it was my mother's gun.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I don't even know how that happened.
Wow.
And I have one more testimony.
Okay.
I'm single now. So the first guy that I met that I was attracted to was like super handsome. He was so cute I put dangerous after his name in my phone, because I knew. So I don't know if I had this testimony, but before the day I was going to go out with him, I was cleaning up my yard in the front curb because I wanted to look good. And this old woman come by and she said, well, she goes, my car's in the shop on Lancaster, and my sister offered to pick me up, but the Lord told me I had to talk to 3 people today, and you're the 3rd one. And I said, uh-oh. So I go, okay. So she proceeds to tell me not to fornicate, not to kiss, not to hug, you know, just don't even go there, woman. And I was just like, wow. And a funny one, one of my friends says, well, what does that mean? I said, well, it meant he obviously didn't get lucky that night, you know. But anyway, so this guy, I decided that I would just be his friend because he was so handsome and he had so many women throwing themselves at him. So today I wrote him a text, and he had a case in front of the Supreme Court. And to make a long story short, we stood in agreement, Chris and I, we stood in agreement. And when he didn't win, I was like really devastated. But I remember how you said sometimes it's not you, it's the other person. And so I thought, well, that must be it. But I still just kind of kept saying, Lord, I sure wish you'd bless him. And anyway, last week I talked to him, and the Supreme Court is settling his case.
Praise.
Oh. But so I could have just let that go. But then I thought, well, if I'm going to be, you know, trying to be a good example to him, so today I sent him a text with a really pretty picture of a cross, and I said, be blessed. I'm glad you are settling your case, not only because you deserve it, but also I was really bummed when I stood in agreement that this would work out for you and it didn't happen when you went to court. God does things in his own time. Hallelujah. And he replied, this is the best part, he said, hope your Easter is grand and that those around you receive his word and blessings.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Okay. You got a testimony? You want to give it forever? Hold your peace? Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Just think. This is what we call Easter or Passover. Jesus. He loves you so much, just like Mike said a while ago. It's mind-boggling when you know your own life, how that he could love you so much that he gave his life for yours. Now, nobody loves you that much. I don't care who it is. I don't care what the deal is. You know, I mean, Jesus, he died for all of us. I doubt seriously if there is a person in this room that loves somebody in this room enough that you would give your life for that person. There may be somebody. But if you immediately just say, oh, I would, that immediately tells me you're lying. You didn't even have time to think about it. So if it comes down to it, if it really comes down to what you will do, you won't know till that day. But he's already done it. He's already paid the price. He died for you. He rose again on the third day to let you know that I really do love you. I paid the price for you. It is done. It paid in full, everything. I bore your sickness. I removed your disease. Everything is yours. If you will only believe, now then, when you die, you can not only live a great life here. It'll have lots of trials and tests. But you will get to live a great life, and he will answer your prayer if you'll only serve him and put him first. I think about the wonderful testimonies that we've had here. I was thinking about a while ago when Chad said what he did about his spark plug on his pickup and how we all prayed. You know, when the Lord says pray, what did he say pray about?
Everything.
And that's really what he meant. Everything. So instead of waiting, you know, we should pray right then and not even think about waiting. In fact, as I think about that testimony with Chad and how he had the problem getting his engine running, but after prayer, we got it going. It's running great. I talked to him a while ago. He said his pickups are running perfect. Well, I think about this young man, and he worked for me. He had a real fancy sports car. I think it was a Pontiac something, a real fancy one of them high dollar ones. Had a big V8 engine in it, and it had so much stuff under the hood you couldn't see nothing in there. Well, it was come time to change the spark plugs. He took it down to the Pontiac house, or the dealer, and they wanted $250 just to labor to change the plugs on that car. He said, I will never pay $250 to change the spark plugs on a car. They said, well, these are very hard to get out and very hard to get in, so that's why it costs so much money. He said, I'll just do it myself. So he took it home and parked it in the front yard, and he got all the plugs out but one. He finally, this one, and I believe it said it was a right front, He could not get it out, so he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked. And finally, after a couple of days of working on this, he finally got that plug out. He finally got them all back in, but that one. That one was so hard to get out, he couldn't get it back in. So he was over at my office and telling me about how hard this plug was to get in. Well, one of the other mechanics walked in about that time, and he was listening to what he was telling us. He said, the guy's name was Neil. He said, Neil, that's no problem. I know you're just a building mechanic. You're not a truck mechanic. I'm a truck mechanic. I'll come by your house this afternoon, and in 5 minutes, I'll have that plug in there for you. So he said, you do that for me? He said, sure. So he come by there, and 5 hours later, he gives up. He can't get the plug in. So he come back to work the next day. He's grumbling, complaining. One of the other boys said, he's not a good mechanic, but I'm a pro mechanic. I'll go out there, and in 5 minutes, I'll have that plug in there for you, no problem. So he comes by, and in 5 hours, he still ain't got it in there. Now then, they all give up. So I'm just watching and observing. Nobody's prayed. Nobody's prayed nothing. So anyway, they come in my office, and he's all fussing about he can't get this plug in there. All these other guys can't get it in there. Everybody's tried. I said, you know, guys, there's one thing y'all have not done. I haven't heard anybody pray. You heard what happened when Cheryl read the testimony about the bolt a while ago? Uh-huh. They couldn't get it out either, but once they prayed, the bolt came right out. So anyway, I told this man, I said, I want you to go home this afternoon. After all these pro mechanics have tried to get this plug out and can't get it out, and you can't get it out, and I said, you're a very good mechanic yourself because I've known you for years. I know you do good work, but I said, none of these boys could get this plug out, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home this afternoon, and I want you to kneel down in front of that car. I said, has your neighbors been watching you work on this car? Oh, yeah. He said, they've all been laughing about how long it's taken me to change this plug. I said, I want you to go home. I want you to kneel right on the front bumper with the hood up. And I want you to say, Father, I'm your son. I need some help. You said I could ask for anything and you'd do it for me. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to send me an angel. And I want that angel to put that plug. When I put that socket in there, put that plug, I put it in there and turn it down. I want it to screw right in the hole. And I said, then I want you to say this out loud. I don't want you to hide nothing. I want you to kneel, and I want everybody around you that's been laughing at you to know that you're a son of God and you're going to believe in Jesus Christ to send an angel to put this plug back in for you. He said, Thurman, they'll think I'm crazy. I said, you want to get the plug back in or not? He said, yes, I want to get the plug back in. See, when you're dealing with your God and you know he's your God, you know he'll answer prayers for you. You know he will. I've had him do this so many times for me, it's just awesome. But anyway, he asked the Lord to do that. And then I said, then the last thing before you put the plug in the socket, stick it down through there to get down to that hole in the head, I want you to say, Lord, thank you for healing, or thank you for fixing my car. I thank you. What did he say to do? Get pray with what?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. That's exactly right. So he went home and he got on his knees. And he did all that, and the next day he came to work, and I said, well, what happened? He said, you're the only man in the world would believe what happened. I said, it was good, wasn't it? He said, you know, I couldn't even believe it myself. He said, I went home, I did exactly what you said. After all those last three days of us, all three of us trying to get that plug, one plug in the hole, couldn't even get it in there. He said, after I prayed and thanked the Lord for putting it in there, I put that plug up in that socket, reached down through the runner, down through all that stuff, into the head, and started screwing it, and all of a sudden it turned it just a few turns, and it just went right in there and just stopped, and I cut a wrench and tightened it and snugged it up and pulled the socket out and said it was in there. Said it didn't take hardly a minute. I had been 3 days we've been working on this. Now, you noticed a while ago when Cheryl said they'd been working for how many, 2 or 3 days trying to get that bolt out of that starter? And whenever they prayed. See, you see what happens when you go to church? You hear people talk about what their God does. You don't hear these kind of stories in the bar. Very rarely. You don't hear these in the world. You hear these kind of stories where men are over the top. Do you consider yourself over the top? If you don't, you should be. Right?
Right.
We, as sons and daughters of God, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are over the top. Amen. What did he do for us? He did everything for us. He made us his children. What will you do for your children?
Anything.
Anything for your children. You do anything for your children. I just stand in awe to think what happens when we believe him and stand for his word. Just like Neil that day, when he come back to my office, he said, Thurman, I've never seen anything like this, but he said, this has taught me one thing. I said, what's that, Neil? He said, don't ever do anything without praying. Did that make an impression on him? 3 days, him and two other mechanics, good mechanics, tried to get one spark plug back in an engine and couldn't do it. And once they prayed and thanked the Lord, it just went right in there and never even had any resistance to screwing down, went right down to the bottom, and he tied it up, and that thing worked like a champ. Just think, I have no idea how many times in my life that I've had this kind of a testimony. And some of you, since you've learned to listen, God's done the same thing for you. In fact, I got tickled a while ago. Last week, Martin, my good buddy, he came in, and the first thing he said when he come back there where I was standing or sitting or whatever, he said, Thurman, I got a back problem. My back is killing me. He said, but we know the one that heals, don't we? I said, yes, we know the one that heals. A while ago when he walked in, you know what the first thing he told me was? My back pain's gone. He said, the Lord healed my back. Well, did we expect that?
Absolutely.
We're children, right, Martin? Amen. See? Yeah, we're children of the Most High God. So when you're a child of God, what will he do for you? Amen. And you know, here's the beautiful part about that. And I'm sure, I know some of you that are really children of God. You have prayed. In fact, I'll just give you an example of what I'm going to say here. Cheryl and I went to a restaurant one night when Christy, so she's sitting right here with her husband, out on the lake when she owned a restaurant, we went out there to eat one night. And there was a man out there I know that does not walk with God. Not at all. He was sitting there at the bar drinking a beer. Cheryl asked me, honey, I understand he loves to play racquetball, and he has messed up a rotator cuff, and he can't play racquetball. Would you pray for him? You know what my first statement to her was? It ain't going to do no good for me to pray for him. That guy's walking in sin. God ain't going to heal him. And I said that. She said, well, would you just pray for him anyway? So I walked over and tapped him on the shoulder and said something like, sir, or Bill, or Bob, or whatever. I think I quoted his name. I said, Cheryl told me that you got a problem with your back or with your arm, your rotator cuff. Yeah, Thurman, I can't play ball or nothing. I said, well, can I pray for you? He said, would you? I'd love it. I prayed for that guy right there in that restaurant with that bar with him running around on his wife. And guess what he did? He healed that guy right there. Now, did he do it because of him or did he do it because of me? He did it because I was a son and I asked him to do it. And he even healed a heathen that's living in sin because of my prayer of faith. And as far as I know, the guy's still healed to this day. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, if you'd ask me, see, God don't do things like when he says, anything you ask me for, I will do it for you. I was talking to Tony a while ago, and he was telling me about how some kind of little melanoma or something on the face or a cheek or a leg or whatever. And he told his kids about it. Well, they all want him to push him off to the doctor. He said, no, I've learned to just pray. So Tony told me, he said he prayed for it and said they're almost completely gone already. I think one of them's already completely gone. Amen. And he said the other will be gone shortly. But as children of the Most High God, we can ask for what, Tony? Amen. That's what he said. So if he's our daddy and he loves us that much, we need to pray and ask him for whatever, don't we? That's right. And it works. And Mary, she messed up her knee. She fell on a bicycle or something. Well, I know they're praying for that.
Yes.
And we're going to be in agreement with you, Mary,
yes,
that your knee is completely delivered and healed and made whole, and the pain's going to go away, and you ain't going to have to walk with that walker or nothing, no crutches, no nothing. You're healed in Jesus' name, right?
That's right.
Yes. Just think. just because you see somebody that's living in sin, don't cut yourself short because God may be doing something in their life that you don't know. Even though they may be the biggest sinner in town. But God, He can change anybody, can He not? You know, I guarantee you that night that Cheryl asked me to pray for that boy out there at Christie's restaurant, when they used to have the restaurant out on the lake. And I know she's glad she don't have that no more. What a chore. That worked her to death. Worked her really hard all the time. But now that her job's a whole lot easier, her and her husband, they run a business. And she said, I love it because I can just get up in the morning and go right in. Don't even have to put makeup on or nothing. Just go to work. She works from home. So she loves working from home. But, you know, when God presses on you to pray for somebody, pray for them because you don't know what He may be fixing to do. You know, He may be fixing to do a miracle in that person's life. I'm going to tell you for sure, I bet you that if you were to ask this man, do you remember the night that Thurman Scrivener come over and prayed for you when you had the problem with your arm and God healed him? I bet you he'll never forget that. I bet you he'll never forget that. And who knows at what time in his life will God need that to move on his heart, to do something to bring that man where He wants him. Because God's in charge of everything. Just like the scripture we're going to read in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, I want us to turn to the scripture. Since this is Easter, this is an awesome little scripture here, chapter 24. I want Cheryl to start out and let's read this and let's go through this.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them.
Okay, next scripture.
And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
That's grave.
Yeah, the sepulchre, the grave, yeah. Okay, next verse.
And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
Next verse.
And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments.
You know, when you stop and think about what the Lord had been telling us, now, all along He's telling them, all these 33, 34 years that He's been on earth, especially the last 3 years, He's been telling them, I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to die for the sins of people. But I'm only going to spend 3 days in the grave, then I'm going to come forth from the grave. Did they believe that? No, I don't think they believed that at all. It's kind of like people today, you know, just like the story with the spark plug. If I'd have just told him, you know, if you just pray, and then I guarantee you'll get those plugs out and put them back in with no problems. And if he had have got them out and put them back in, he would have said, oh, well, I don't need to pray. I can, just a coincidence that I prayed that it happened. But it would have went like that anyway. Don't we try to explain things away? But if you've tried for 3 days with three different mechanics to get a... I thought about Mike trying to pull the pin out of that timing chain. You know, I mean, Mike, he worked for hours. He tried to pull that pin out, and he couldn't get that pin out until his wife said, honey, have you prayed? He said, no, I don't need to pray. Anybody can pull a pin out of a timing gear. Well, he couldn't. So he finally prayed, and when he prayed, it fell out. Just fell out. Do you think Mike will remember that forever? Yeah. I think he will. Do you think all the other ones he's put out, do you think he remembers those? No, I don't think so. But that one, he'll remember that one forever. Just like this one. If we didn't have problems, trials and tests, and you got to realize, on this earth, you're here to learn how to be an overcomer from the trials and tests. That's what you're here for. When you begin to understand what you are here for, and you're here to learn how to be an overcomer, to reign and rule with Jesus in eternity, and to think of the people that they have no idea what they're here for. So we're here to make money. No, you're not here to make money. You're here to learn how to be an overcomer. And if you learn that, each one of these trials and tests you go through will bring you to a new level of understanding with God. I mean, it's just amazing. And there were these people here, as it came to pass, they were much perplexed. Wow. Go ahead, honey. Read on.
And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead?
What would you do if you walked into a tomb or into maybe before they buried somebody, if you walked into a church, somebody, and there's a casket right here, somebody in it, and there was a couple of men in shining white raiment that was right here, sitting here or whatever, and said, what are you doing here looking for this guy? He ain't here. He's raised from the dead. Would you be perplexed? I think we would be. I'm not sure we'd probably even go up and open the casket to look to see if they were still in there. I mean, we have trouble believing. You know that? Yeah. These guys are no different than us. Okay, read on a little more. Next verse, yeah.
He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee.
Yeah, he is not here. He is risen. Right. Well, is he alive and well today?
Yes, he is.
Boy, I'm telling you, you know, the number of people, when I think about the people that I've talked to in life, and some of them are Christian. Some have been around Christian people, Christian families all their life, and they've really, they've maybe never had an experience with God. Maybe they've never prayed. They just don't know that God is real. And it's just, it's so amazing that when you pray, and you pray in faith, and you see the miracles, I mean, just think of the simple little thing about a while ago, that little couple. They had been listening to my teaching, and they've heard me talk about praying over mechanical things. So the mother, when they couldn't get that last bolt out of that starter, for some reason, she said, we have not prayed. And they prayed and asked the Lord to loosen that bolt, and that bolt just screwed right out of there. Isn't that amazing? But what can God do? He can do anything you can believe him for. Now, I'm telling you, he answered that woman's prayer because she believed. He's not here. He's risen. Okay, next verse, huh?
Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Just think, he's been telling us this for all this time. I'm going to die for you. I'm dying. I'm going to the grave for you. For you, every one of you, and everyone in this room, he done that for every one of us. And wow, to think that he done it for me. And I'll tell you for sure, for every one of us that know Jesus Christ, have called on his name, when we do get to heaven, we won't have to be there long till we'll be so grateful for that we made it. You know, I mean, I think about Bill Weiss when Cheryl and I went down to Fort Worth and sat there in the restaurant there in Fort Worth at the hotel, and we had dinner with Bill Weiss. Bill Weiss, you may not know who that is. I didn't know him, but after that night, I'll never forget him. Bill Weiss was a man that when he was lost, he died, and God sent him to hell. And he spent 23 minutes in hell. Now, when he came back, it was so awesome, so awful. He didn't even know where he had been. He just knew this was the most terrible place he had ever heard of, ever seen. But he said, the thing that really got me, he said, when I'm in this place down there with like bars all on with it, and it's hot, it's black, but yet it's flames everywhere, but it's pitch black. And he said, there is these beings, He said, there are all kinds of different heights, you know. He said, one of them, he said, it had to be 12, 15 feet tall. And he said his arms were different lengths, and his fingers and nails were different lengths. And he said he had big, long claws, like a lion's claw. And he said, this big beast come over to me. And he come over to me, and he took that big hand, and he put it right in my chest and run those big nails, those big claws, right into my chest. And he picked me up like a rag doll. Now, he's telling me this himself. He's been there and seen this. He experienced this. He said, that beast picked me up like a rag doll, and he just threw me against that block wall. He said, when I hit that wall, he said, it's like it broke every bone in my body. He said, I slithered down the floor, to the floor, laying on the floor screaming, oh, please, you're hurting me. Don't do that again. And he said, that beast said, this is only your first day. You're going to suffer like this forever. He looked at me and said, Thurman, when I did come back and learn where I'd been, when I learned I'd been in hell, and that place is there for anybody that don't believe in Jesus, he said, I had a very awesome real estate business. I make lots of money. He said, I turned it all in. I gave it all away. And he said, now the only thing I do is travel around telling people you don't want to go to hell. He said, that's all I do. He said, I don't know how many years God's going to give me, but said, I'm going to tell as many people as I can, you don't want to go to this place. Jesus paid the price for you on the cross. You don't want to go to this place. He said, that's all I'm going to do until I die. He said, there ain't nothing on this earth, nothing worth nothing, if you don't make it to heaven. Now, when you sat across the table, actually, it wasn't across the table. I was sitting beside him at the restaurant. I had a first-hand seat, and he's turned looking right into my face. We were not 2 feet apart, and he's telling me this awful, awful story about how he went to hell as a lost man and how that he would give up his business. He had a very successful business, making lots of money. He said, after that 23 minutes in hell, I realized ain't nothing the earth has that's worth nothing. He said, I just told God, I said, God, I'm giving up everything. I don't need nothing. Ain't nothing worth nothing. Nothing. Just think. If you've got a house or a car or an airplane or anything, you ain't going to take none of it to heaven with you when you leave. You're going to leave it all right here. You're not going to take nothing. But I think about what Bill had to say about that. I just stood in awe as I stood there and listened to him tell how awful it was to be in that place. And so that you don't have to go to that place. So I don't have to go to that place. The story we're reading today about Jesus is a real story that he died. He arose again on the third day so that you could accept him and his free gift. He went to hell for you, and he paid the price in hell for you so you don't have to go. And he made it really difficult for you to get there. Lord, I believe. Isn't that something? Lord, I believe. I accept your gift. I accept what you did for me. And every human being on this earth, all they got to do is say, I believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, he will forgive you. He will save you. And he will save you from this awful place of hell, and you will get to go to heaven when you die. And I'm going to tell you that it doesn't make any difference, you know, for those people, the other people. I can only tell you from my own experience. In my life, I've never had an experience like Mike had. When I think about what he said about how he was abused as a child, I'm so grateful I never had anything like that. I had a good daddy. I had a good mama. They loved me. And my dad never hit me in his life, not one time. I had a good family, and I loved them. But still, on this earth, there's nothing important on this earth except knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only thing that's important. But as a son or daughter of God, if none of the other stuff was real, if heaven wasn't real, if eternity wasn't real, because I know Jesus and the times I've had with him and the times he's talked to me and the things he showed me how to do and the things I've done as a person by because of his instructions, to him helping me, you can't put a price tag on that. I mean, I just stand in awe to think about the times God has spoken to me and showed me things and told me things about how to fix things and how to do things that I didn't know how to do. But he showed me and told me, why did he do that for me? Because he loved me. I was his son. I think about Cheryl and I. We hadn't been married very long. And I stayed at home that night because I was practicing, studying to go somewhere to preach. And she was singing with Christy, her daughter. And so it was, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I decided, okay, I'm studied enough for one night. I'm going to go to bed. So I went to bed, and I'm laying there. I don't know how long I'd been in bed, but in a few minutes, all of a sudden, for the only time I've ever heard God call my name, Thurman, was that night. I'm laying there asleep, and I heard him say, Thurman. Well, it scared me, and I woke up right quick, and when I did, there's a TV screen or whatever you call it. It looked like a TV screen in front of me, and in that was Highway 26 there in Colleyville, and Cheryl was driving down the road in her car. She pulls off of the road and pulls into the car wash and gets out to get the wand to wash the car, and two guys grab her, and the screen goes dark. I said, Lord, something's fixing to happen to Cheryl. I said, Lord, I cut my phone and picked it up right quick and hit her number right quick, and she answered on the first ring. She said, yes, honey. I said, where are you? She said, I'm on 26. I'm fixing to pull in here and get wash my car. I said, no, you're not. The Lord just showed me two men abducted you, and I said, you come straight home. She said, don't worry. I was going to get gas, too, but I ain't even going to get gas. She said, I'll be straight home. And she did, and we come home. She crawled in bed with me, and we lay there and just praised and worshiped the Lord. If I hadn't had that information that night from the Lord, I might have lost Cheryl that night. But God wasn't ready for that. I'm a son, and she's a daughter. And he loves us, and he had a plan for me and her. And he saved her life that night. Now then, if you don't have that relationship with God, there's no telling what might happen. Just think how many men might have lost their wives under circumstances just like that. They didn't have that relationship with the Master, so he didn't warn them. Isn't that something? But that's the only time God ever called my name and said, Thurman. But I think about, because he went to the cross and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, he had the right and the freedom to tell me what he wanted to tell me because I'm a son of God. Amen. Do you realize the benefits are good when you're a son? Just like Cheryl and I was talking the other night about something, and I told her, I said, you know, I will do things for my son that I will not do for another human being on this earth. I'm sure you are the same way. You know, if you said, well, I've got $100,000 and I want to either give it to Thurman or my son, probably you're going to give it to your son. You ain't going to give it to me. You won't even think about it. I mean, I understand. I'm the same way. I mean, but if it's my son, will you give your child something you wouldn't give nobody else? Yeah. Sure you will. Yeah, you sure will. But we are sons and daughters of God. So by being sons and daughters of God, by being a son, when I asked the Lord to heal that man's rotator cuff that we was just talking about a while ago, he didn't heal him because of his faith, because he didn't have any. He didn't heal him because of his righteousness, because he didn't have any. But he healed him because I was walking with him, and I asked him to do something for me, for another man, and God did it. But I think about the other day, I told some of y'all this. This is the only time I've ever had this experience. But the other day we had a lady that called in and says, I have tried and tried and tried to get healed, and I can't get healed. I've been listening to Pastor Thurman for a long time, And I know that he knows he's the righteousness of God in Christ. So she said, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me on Pastor Thurman's righteousness. She said, in 2 hours, I was healed. Now, is that something? Now, but I'm a son. And I know I'm righteous. Why do I know I'm righteous? Because Jesus died on the cross for me. Because of what he did, I am righteous. Not because of what I've done. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm still his son. Aren't you still his son? And the righteousness, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ because you are a son. Wow. Okay, let's read on here a little further.
And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest.
Okay, we're going on.
It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles.
Read on. Next verse.
And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not.
Now, so does that sound like us?
Yes.
Does that sound like us? We tell somebody something all about Jesus, and they still don't believe. Is there people like that today?
Of course.
Oh, they're all over the place. I mean, you can tell people about Jesus, and just like these guys. I mean, here they had walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, but they're trying to tell you what's going on, and they do not believe. Next verse.
Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
Next verse.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs.
Okay, next verse.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them.
Okay. Jesus even showed up himself. Wow. Well, we'll see what they do now. Okay, next verse.
But their eyes were holden that they should not know him.
Just think. Even though he's there, they still don't believe. He's not opened the scripture to them yet. Next verse.
And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?
Next verse.
And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?
Just think, everything that God does for you, he has to reveal himself to you or you don't get it. These guys didn't get it. He has not revealed himself to them. Okay, next verse.
And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.
Next verse.
And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him.
Next verse.
But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done.
Well, something magnificent supposed to happen in 3 days? What was it? They all knew that, didn't they?
Yeah.
They knew he said after 3 days he's going to be resurrected from the dead. Next verse.
Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre.
In other words, if these women go up there and say the grave is empty, he's risen from the dead, they thought he was crazy. Kind of like us today, some of us. Okay, next verse.
And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive.
Now this is really gets mind-boggling whenever somebody starts saying, I've seen Jesus and he's not dead, he's alive. That almost sounds like whenever that doctor came over to Dallas and I told him about my granddaughter, about her brain stem. He said, do you have information to prove that your granddaughter's brain stem was severed? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, can I read it? And I said, okay, I'll bring it to you next week. I brought the information to him and he read this and you know what he said? There was a wrong diagnosis. This is impossible. Now, do you think he has any faith? No, he didn't have any. But it's a good thing. Some of us had faith. I believe, like you people here in this auditorium today, I believe that you believe that if Jesus does it, there's absolutely nothing impossible with him. Amen. He can put a brain stem back together. He can pay off a $100,000 note. He can do it. What can he do?
Anything.
He can do anything you can believe him for. That's the limiting factor, is your faith, your belief. Okay, honey, read on. Next.
Is that it? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not.
Next verse.
Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
You see what Jesus thought about him, right?
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Next verse.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Just can you imagine the Lord showing up here and get up here and he starts back at Moses in the Torah and he comes forward and explains to you and me everything in the book of Psalms and everything. All the things that the scriptures talk about that pertain to him, when everything's about him. Boy, you talk about a day at church. We'd have a day if you... But wouldn't you love to have that experience? Boy, I would. I'll tell you for sure. Okay, read on, honey.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further.
Okay, next verse.
But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them.
Okay, next verse.
And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them.
Next verse.
And their eyes were opened, and they knew him.
Right there, you see why you can't get it? You don't get it till he opens your eyes. When you open your, when he opens your eyes, you get it. And so that's why I tell people, when you're studying the scripture, whatever you do, pray over the scripture. Ask the Lord, just like Micah did a while ago when he prayed, that the Lord will reveal to you the truth of the scripture, that he'll open your understanding to the scripture. Because if he does not open your understanding to the scripture, you can go to church all your life and never get it. Have you ever seen people say, that go to church, you say, are you a Christian? They say, well, I go to church. They say, why do you read the Bible? Oh, I read it once. Why do you not read it anymore? I don't understand it. If they don't understand it, God has not opened it to them. They have no knowledge. Somebody needs to get with them and pray with them that God will begin to open the scripture and reveal the scripture to you, so you will understand what you're reading. Because until I learned that, I couldn't memorize scripture. But after I learned that, I don't even know how many scriptures I've got hidden in my heart, but a bunch of them. But anyway, go on, next verse.
And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Okay, next verse.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Wow, next verse.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them.
Next verse.
Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon.
Now that's a good statement. He has risen and arisen indeed. Okay, praise the Lord. Next verse.
And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread.
Next verse.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you.
Next verse.
But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit.
That's something you need to get in your heart, that as a son or a daughter of God, Don't ever let anything bother you. Don't let fear come in. Just like the other day, just a few days ago, I had a couple. It was a woman. She was having all kinds of problems all over her body. Well, I prayed for her, and she left, and she came back in a little while and said, "Pastor, I've still got this burning fire all over my body." I said, "Okay." So I'm sitting right here in my chair, reached up, put my hand on her head. I just gently said, "Come out of her, you devil of hell." And I don't know how many of y'all were still here, but all of a sudden we went wild and berserk in the sanctuary. That little tiny thing that I had my hand on her head, she started screaming at the top of her lungs. I didn't even flinch. I just backed off, let two or three or four other people that knew what they were doing come up and get with her. And we all began to command these spirits to leave and to go away. And so they did. They went away, and the girl got delivered, sitting right there. Now then, if you're screaming and hollering and wondering what's going on, don't let fear get in you. You know, if you're a son or a daughter of God, realize there's an invisible world that you can't see that's out there that you're fighting against. Don't worry about it. You got power over it. So learn that, and then go from there. Okay, honey, next verse.
And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?"
That's what I'm trying to say, too. Why are we troubled? When we have these problems, don't worry. I mean, I remember when Cheryl and I and Dave kicked a demon, 3,000 demons plus.
2823.
Yeah, 2823 demons out of one woman. But it took us 7.5 hours to do it. And a few weeks later, we were in Norway, and we had a woman that had manifest with all these demons, and she started screaming and throwing down on the floor. I told Cheryl, I said, "Honey, get down here with me. We ain't going to be 7.5 hours for this one. We got the faith this time." So, me and her fell on the floor with that woman, started wrestling around on the floor with that woman, told that woman, devils, I said, "Come out of her now and leave, and I'm not allowing you to come back. It's done in Jesus' name." They left just like that. I stood up and I said, "Woman, you're delivered." Looked over at that woman and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And her husband, she hadn't walked in 7 years. I said, "Ma'am, while the anointing of miracles is on me, come out of her in Jesus' name." And that woman jumped out of that wheelchair and started running all over the stadium. I'm telling you, it's fun to serve Jesus. It's fun. People say, "I can't believe this. I've never seen nothing like this." Well, you need to hang out with me and Cheryl more often. We've seen it. Haven't we, Hud? Well, you say, okay, press on a little. We'll hurry this up so we can get out of here.
Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
Yeah, this is really the king. Okay, next verse.
And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet.
Wow. That's sad that he has to go that far. Show us his hand. Next verse.
And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?"
And what did you read that first part of that again? And while they yet
Believed not for joy and wondered.
What is it going to take? What is it going to take for us to believe? Ain't that something? Press on, next verse.
And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb.
So now he can eat fish and honeycomb. Okay, next verse.
And he took it and did eat before them.
Okay, next verse.
And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me."
Okay, next verse.
Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
Okay, so right there, what happened right there? What did he do?
He opened their understanding.
So for him to open your and my understanding, what must we do?
Pray.
You've got to be able to learn how to pray, because God only does what you pray for. When you pray for things, he will open your understanding and do things for you. If you don't ask him, he will not do it. If you want to know how these things work, get in there and pray. I mean, that's how that the scripture was revealed to me. As I got into the scripture, hours and hours and hours of reading and studying and praying over it, asking God to give me the understanding of his word and how it all works. And then the other day, I had a man and his wife. He was 83 and she was 76, I believe. And they had both graduated from Assembly of God Seminary. And they called me and from California or somewhere, wherever they were living. And they wanted me to pray for them, and they asked me a question about demons. They said, until we started listening to your teaching, we never heard about demons, but yet they had graduated from a Christian seminary, an Assembly of God, and had no knowledge of demons. Isn't that sad? Have no knowledge of demons, and yet the demons is what's causing their problem. They're both sick and afflicted because of demons, and they have no idea how to get them out. So I just stand in awe. Wow, praise the Lord, wow. Okay, so until Jesus reveals it to you, you do not have that revelation. So you need to pray and ask him to do it. Okay, we're going to take communion. It's I need my communion people to go get the stuff together, and we will do that, and we'll take communion. Are you glad you know Jesus?
Yes.
Boy, I'm glad I know Jesus. If there's anything in this world, I want to know that I know that I know that I know Jesus. Everything else, it ain't worth a penny. But to know Jesus, eternal life forever, wow. Anyway, we're going to take communion. This communion, pass out the bread and the wine. Praise the Lord. Remember, as you take the bread, it's to remind you that by his stripes you are healed. The blood is to remind you that we have no sin and that we are dead to sin and we're going to live to righteousness. He bore our sin and he bore our sickness and removed our disease, so we're not going to be sick. We're not going to go out and sin. We're going to walk in obedience to God's word. We want to walk in obedience to his word. Praise the Lord. Yep, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for you, we welcome you to take communion with us. All you need to do is be a believing believer. If you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again on the third day, you're welcome to take communion. Praise the King. Thank you, Jesus, of what communion does for us. As often as we take this, we remember. Normally we take this the first Sunday of every month. Some people take it every Sunday. Some of them take it once a quarter. Used to when I was in the Baptist church, we took communion once a quarter, every 3 months. But I believe that we ought to take it more often. And if I have somebody that's really having a problem getting healed, I tell them to take communion two or three times a day to remind them that Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease so you don't have to be sick. Praise the Lord. It works. It works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we get it all done, will you all tell me?
Yes.
Okay. First time I made the statement that when you get it all, get them all passed out. Somebody laughed. Get them all passed out. Well, Paul did say some people, when they do communion, they do get drunk, he said, so. But we're not taking that kind of wine. Our wine won't make you drunk. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Can't think of a better time to take communion than Passover, can you? That's what it's all about. Praise the name of Jesus. All done. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread. Thank you that by your stripes we were healed. So, Lord, thank you it's done. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. And the most powerful thing in the universe is the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bearing our sin so we don't have to sin no more. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. This week, I challenge each one of you to go out and do something for Jesus, remembering that he is your God, that he went to hell and paid the price for you so you don't have to go there. Ain't that something? And I don't know if you heard it or not, but it was on the news. The Pope says there is no hell. Did y'all hear that? The Pope, of all people, the Pope says there's no hell. And somebody else come in and said, well, you know, it's a terrible price Jesus paid if we don't have to or not go to hell. And that is something, isn't it? Wow. I can't imagine. The scripture. Did y'all know there's more? Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And let me tell you, you don't want to go there. It was to be just like in Luke there, the rich man and the poor man. Whenever he went there, he didn't like what he saw. He didn't like the flame he was in. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, would you send Lazarus back to tell my five brothers about this place? So they're going to come here. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, Lord, they won't listen to them. He said, if you send somebody back from the dead, they'll believe. He said, oh, even though somebody is going to be sent back from the dead, there's still going to be some that won't believe. And there is. There is some people that will not believe. Well, let me tell you, I ain't going to be one of them. I'm going to be a believing believer, aren't you? I'm going to heaven when I leave this place. I'm going to be like Billy Graham. When they said, if they call you and tell you Billy Graham's dead, he said, don't you believe him? I'll be more alive then than I ever have been in my life. And I believe that for sure. Okay, are we done? Okay, I need my prayer warriors to stand up. I need you to see who these prayer warriors are. When we get through here, if you need prayer, you need to get with one of the prayer warriors. And if you want any of the CDs and DVDs, just get what you want. They're free. Take as many as you like. If you do want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over here on the wall. You can put your money in that. And we want you to have a blessed week this week. We want you to go do something for Jesus. And we want you to walk healed. Just like we prayed for Martin last week. I never thought to ask him how long it was before his pain went away. But all I know is a while ago, whenever he came in, first thing Martin told me was, Thurman, you prayed for my back and it quit. It's not hurting anymore. We shouldn't have to have pain and suffering as children of the King. You know, when we pray, he should answer our prayers, and we should get our answers quickly. Okay? Thank you, Father, for blessing all your people. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you as those that are going to travel this week, go different places, do different things. I ask you to bless them, watch over them, protect them, keep them safe, and bring them back home safely, and then use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.